back to the Wave Wire. My name is James, and as always, I'm joined by Tim. Tim, how are you tracking today?
I'm all right, James. Good to be back. We haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah, we've taken a little bit of a break, but now we're back and ready to go. A lot of things have happened, Tim, while we've been gone. The draft's happened. NBA free agency has begun. The Golden State Warriors won the title. A lot of changes going on.
Heaps of trades.
Heaps of fantasy impact.
Yeah,
there's a lot of news going on that we've decided to reunite, Tim, and
come out of the depths.
Yeah,
the depths of off season
to try and make sense of it all and have a very, very early look at how this is going to affect your draft and everything. We'll be detailing that a little bit later on, but we'll go pretty hard into the draft stuff about 6-7 weeks before the season begins, and so you'll be all ready to beat your mates and win all those cash leagues coming this year. So Tim, we'll start with the Golden State Warriors. Congrats to the champions.
Yeah, congrats.
This good is our job. First episode since then. I think
everyone's a bit over that now.
Yeah, it seems like forever already. It was only, 3 weeks ago?
That's more than that.
Oh, it finished at the start of June.
Yeah, it's a bit more than
halfway
that.
Halfway through June.
About a month ago. But still, it feels like another lifetime.
Yeah.
The off-season just drags on.
Still got another 3 months to go. Yeah. But that was, pretty comprehensive victory. LeBron tried his best, tried his heart out. Wasn't enough to overcome the juggernaut that's the Warriors. And, I wrote a couple of articles of this for a couple of websites, and the effect that the Warriors, just steamrolling through everyone, that was one game for the whole playoffs. That's, we're seeing what's happened because of that, so teams in the East have decided they're going to just tank and wait for LeBron to retire, and then they'll have a crack at the East. And teams in the West have gone,
let's play.
Let's take all these players that teams want to tank. We'll take your players. We'll build a super team. We'll go against the Warriors. So the West is absolutely stacked at this point in time. So
I said just before, I can foresee at least 10 teams in the West getting 40 wins. That's unprecedented.
Yeah.
That is absolutely unprecedented.
Oh, and there'll be a team in the 8th seed in the East could easily be 6-7 games under 500.
Yeah. Orlando Magic are predicted
at 36 wins might make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I saw an interesting thing that they're over-under at the moment is 40 wins.
40 wins.
If they get 40 wins, I don't know what I'll do, James.
You can't put it into words.
It's an outrage.
Time to set up retirement, I think. I might just go chuck my life savings on there.
Yeah, it's an outrage.
And it's own.
All right, I think the Golden State did add even more power this offseason, but we'll get to that a bit later. I think we should start with the draft.
Yeah, we'll start with the draft team. Right, so first pick.
First pick.
Markel Fultz. What are our thoughts here?
He's going to make an instant impact.
Yep, it will be starting at the point.
He's gone to Philly.
They traded with Boston because they wanted Fultz. Obviously, they're going
to
play him.
They wanted a starting small forward, power forward, point guard, and now they've got. You interrupted me. In the last three drafts, that's what they've got.
Yeah,
starting at every single position, and the point guard was the last one because they had TJ McConnell and they had Jared Bayless,
and Sergio Rodriguez
as well, but. That obviously wasn't going to work out for them in the long run. So they traded up because they wanted to get their man Fultz. They've got him, and now they're stacked.
The good thing for me on Fultz, he's a point guard, but he's good at playing off
ball. He's a score first point guard.
He's good at playing off the ball because, we've heard out of the Sixers that Ben Simmons will be handling the ball a lot.
Yeah.
He won't necessarily, he's not going to run every single play, but Simmons has the ability, and they reckon they're going to play him as the point forward, kind of like the LeBron role. So Ben Simmons could be a good have in your draft, maybe with your last pick just to fill up the bench, because he'll be having a lot of the ball. It won't be too easy if you're in an Australian draft, because he'll get picked up nice and early, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think Ben Simmons could be a good option, but yeah, he'll help out Fultz a lot, I think. I think Fultz... He's a pretty good scorer. He's, played well in summer league so far.
Yeah, but we haven't seen at least half.
Summer leagues are...
It's a weird beast.
It's a different beast altogether when it comes to the NBA season. But signs look good for Markel Fultz. I think he's a... normally rookies aren't really worth it to get drafted because, there's a lot of other players you can go. But if you pick up Fultz with your last pick, it's not the worst option.
Depends what league you're talking in. So we're talking about some keeper leagues at the new import. There's always draft players. They have a little draft sort of thing.
Yeah.
you're going to have to pick some players, and
Fultz is the best option from this draft.
Michael Fultz. There's going to be a couple of others who are going to make instant impacts. I'm going to list them here, and I want you to rank them by who you think is going to be important. So I've got Jason Tatum.
Yep.
Luke Kennard.
Yep.
I think he's going to make it.
I think Luke Kennard's a very good option.
I think he's going to make an instant impact. There's a couple others who probably, like Frank Ntilikina.
He'll probably play at the moment. They don't have a point guard.
They've got rid of Justin Holiday, and I think he might play a bit of the same role as him off the bench. They might take a couple
of his. Did Holiday resign?
No, I think he moved. He went to Chicago. I think he's going to take a couple of his minutes, because he was playing sporadically, maybe anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes. So I think he can carve out maybe a 10 to 20 minute role. Not much else.
Rose won't be back.
So Rose is gone. But that adds another issue in the fact that they're probably going to go and get another point guard.
They signed Ron Baker.
Yeah, but he's playing like 5 minutes maybe.
Yeah. So I think I can't say his name.
Ntilikina.
Yeah, that's the way.
I hope it's like that.
Something like that. I think he might actually play a bit. He'll get a few minutes. You need to wait till the end of free agency to see who they pick up. But if they give him the keys to the offense, go for it.
That's, you might as well, yeah.
But that brings me back to Lonzo Ball. So they traded D'Angelo Russell, so Lonzo Ball is going to be their starting point guard. They missed out on George Hill.
Which for fantasy is a good sign.
It's a good sign. That's a good thing for... We'll talk about him a little bit later, Tim, signing with the Kings. But they missed out on George Hill, which is a good thing for Lonzo. So Lonzo will be in the backcourt with... At this point in time, it looks like it's going to be Jordan Clarkson. We don't know... They've had meetings with... who was it they were meeting with? Oh, they had a meeting with Deion Waiters. But Deion Waiters has signed with Miami. So it does look like it could be Clarkson and Russell. Sorry, not Russell. And Lonzo Ball in the backcourt.
D'Angelo Russell, geez. Yeah. Did he come back?
He's back in Brooklyn. But I think Lonzo Ball, Tim, 12-7 isn't out of the equation here.
You know what? I'm off him purely for the fact that his dad is a dick. I'm off him. I can't get behind him. I want him to fail because of how much of a dick his dad is.
But have a look at his three sons. They're pretty weird looking guys with almost no personality at all. Look at Lonzo. You don't see emotion on his face. He's like a robot.
He's spoken about twice.
Yeah, he's like a robot. So LeVar is just filling that hole for them to, you know, become...
No, he's just
quantify
living...
them, make them a brand. No.
He's living through his sons because he failed.
No, he's making them a brand. He's selling this.
Are you going to buy their shoes? Did it make you want to buy his shoes?
People have bought his shoes.
They bought them as a joke, so they can burn them.
And? That's $425 into LeVar Ball's pockets right there. He's branded his sons. Even if they flame out, people will remember Big Baller Brand and the Big Ballers. So... That's the thing. Anyway.
Well, he even dissed his youngest son, and said he's not going to make it. he can be a model.
Anyway,
no, that ugly rig, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so either. So, Lonzo, I don't think 12-7's out of the equation, Tim. 12 points and 7 assists.
Well, I'm not going to be going for him.
I won't be picking him up.
You won't be picking him up?
No, I'm just saying 12-7 isn't out of the equation for him. Honestly, I try and steer away from rookies. That's just not my thing. Because we don't have any dynasty leagues or anything, so I don't have to pick them up. But
well, there's an interesting name for me that he could like fall into a couple of minutes is Lauri Markkanen.
Okay. Well, the Bulls are undergoing a rebuild.
Exactly, so. That's what I'm thinking. They've got a lot of players who they probably still want to give another chance to ahead of him.
Yeah.
At this point in time,
he's a small forward, isn't he?
Yeah, small forward, power forward area. Mirotić. Signing, if he does re-sign, because I don't think anything's been done with that yet.
He's not a free agent,
though. I think he is soon. Yeah. Soon. They wanted to move him, or he's a free agent at the end of next year.
But he's not what they wanted him to be.
Yeah. Mirotić is going to get minutes, first of all, because he's still got another chance. Bobby Portis, probably another man who's going to get a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I reckon if he starts well, Denzel Valentine's probably going to be the starting small forward. He should be the starting small forward.
I don't think
without Jimmy Butler, he should be.
You know, I think I don't think that the Bulls will do that because you know some weird front office decisions have happened there.
But they've cleared out everything. They cleared out Rondo. They cleared out Zaire Cannon. If you're a point guard, at the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, Justin Holliday's.
I reckon he's going to have a decent role, Justin Holliday.
He'll have a big role.
He could have a big role. I think we've talked enough about the draft because there isn't really...
No, there wasn't much else that's
going to... It's Luke Kennard, Jason Tatum, Markelle Fultz.
I don't think Tatum might have too much of an impact.
But they're the ones... And Lonzo Ball are the ones that we've picked that are going to... Should have the biggest impact.
Actually, two people I just want to touch on before we finish this. Josh Jackson, depending on how Phoenix go about whatever they're doing, whatever the head office decides to... Front office, sorry. Whatever they decide to...
If they decide to rebuild or if they decide to go after players, I don't think they've even made up their mind yet. I think it's whoever will come to us, we'll, if we get good players, we'll have a go. If not, we'll rebuild. Josh Jackson could fall into minutes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he could be stuck behind a good small forward if someone ends up there. We don't know yet. And then there's Bam Bam, Big Bam Adebayo. He's turned it on in summer league, James. I didn't think at the start of the season, I was like, what? After the draft, I was like, what? He's a person who's just going to sit behind Hassan Whiteside, probably play junk time 3-4 minutes a game. But he's turned it on. He might have himself...
Willie Reed, I don't think, will re-sign with Miami.
So I don't know, James.
So he might be the backup.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest getting Bam, but he's a watch at the moment. Have a bit of a watch.
If Whiteside gets injured, maybe he'll get some good minutes.
Right. We've talked enough about the draft.
Free agency is normally, Tim, that's where the big impact... is made for fantasy terms. This is when we're talking about some seasoned veterans trading places, and that's where we'll find our steals of the draft probably. So we'll start. We'll just go in order pretty much of what happens. The first trade, the biggest one, Chris Paul to the Rockets.
That was massive.
Well, before I give my take as a Rockets fan, Tim, you can discuss. Okay. How does this? So first of all, how does this impact Chris Paul? And how does this impact James Harden?
First of all, I just want to make a sweeping statement and say nearly every single trade or free agent signing has had an impact on the top 10 in fantasy. Apart from one man in Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's now
And LeBron too.
He's now probably one of the top picks.
Yeah.
All right, Chris Paul, I think he has... His scoring production is what takes the hit.
Yep.
I think assist-wise, he's going to be very similar. Turnover-wise, he's going to be very similar. He's the same old Chris Paul. He's going to be churning out assists and leaving the turnovers at a low rate. The steal rate is something, to me, that is very important for that Houston team. I think he's going to increase the amount of steals he's going to get.
Yeah, you know, that's how Houston plays. Their defense focuses on playing in the passing lanes. And, something Chris Paul's been doing for the last
10 years. He's very good at it. He's Cliff. Because now we can call him Cliff because Chris is still back in LA. I think he's going to get the best steal rate, but then rebounds-wise, obviously the Houston guards don't rebound because just James Harden wants them all.
No, Patrick Beverley averaged but he's 6-7 rebounds a game.
Yeah, but James Harden wanted them all. So if he wants them, he gets them. Right. Chris Paul has been he's a decent rebounder for a point guard. Maybe 5 or so rebounds. James Harden, well, he takes a hit. I think he's going to go back to the shooting guard-esque player that he was before his first season with D'Antoni. I think he's going to be a decrease in turnovers and a massive decrease in assists. But I think it's going to be 4 assists, 3 turnovers is going to be his average.
You reckon he's going to average 4 assists a game?
4 assists a game and 3 turnovers. I just don't see the ball being in his hands as much with Chris Paul there. It can't be possible.
4 assists, you say...
It can't be possible.
Can you just say that? No, I wish there was a camera so you could just look down the barrel of the camera and say. So can we just have a little pause?
4 assists, James.
Have a pause? All right, Tim, now you've had time to reconsider. Can you say that again?
James Harden will average 4 assists in 2017-18.
Oh, guys, we're going to have to end it there. I'm pretty upset, Tim.
Come on, have your take.
Well, okay, so where do you see James Harden? Where would you draft him? What's his range?
Depends what you want.
Are you telling me Nikola Jokic has more value than James Harden?
Of course he does! Nikola Jokic will do everything. Score. If you want a scorer, you get James Harden. He's going to be like Russell Westbrook, except without the assists. I think his rebounds...
Okay, alright, so what's your range for James Harden draft? What's your range?
I'd say between 10 and 20.
But he's going to average 4 assists, so why would you get him...
Because he's a scorer, and you need a scorer on your team, don't you?
That's nice. You can get DeMar DeRozan to pick 20 if you want to have 27 points.
Yeah, but he's an idiot. James Harden adds 3-pointers and free throws. And they're all good percentages.
Okay.
You have to think about it that way, too.
Okay. So you're saying 10 to 20. I still think James Harden will
be... Wait, who won our league last year? Me.
No, you didn't.
I lost because I forgot to... I couldn't fit a player on the field.
Came second.
Still, anyway, in my head, to win.
So, James Harden will be a top six player in the league next year.
Top six?
Yep, top six.
That's outrageous.
Top six.
That's outrageous.
Well, he's dropping from first, from number one to six.
Well, he was number one. Russell Westbrook was the MVP.
Number two, sorry. Don't do this. Anyway. So, James Harden, for me, I'm thinking... See, I'm not sold on the whole James Harden's going to score more points thing. I don't think that's going to...
He's just going to pass less.
I think Harden will average...
When he's at the...
29 point. This is what I think next year. 29, 7, maybe 29, 8 and 8 from Harden. That's realistic. That's realistically where I think... Yeah, Tim, did you... Like, I don't think you understand. So, James Harden, the second most efficient offense in the league was run by James Harden.
What was his usage? Like 34%?
Yeah, something like that.
What's Chris Paul's usage?
It's still going to be 34%, Tim. It's still going to be
34%. Yes. And you're saying Chris Paul's going to have his 30% too.
So, if you
so 64% of the offense is that.
So how many minutes did Chris Paul play last year?
34
minutes a game. James Harden played 36 minutes a game. So there's 14. There's probably about 13 minutes of the game where one of them will be on the bench.
Yeah.
So if Chris Paul's on the bench, James Harden runs the offense back in the good old days, like of last year, where he was able to get 6 assists in the first quarter. He was getting triple doubles at halftime last year.
Yeah, it happened 3 times.
It's okay. Sorry, he only got 3 triple doubles at halftime. Sorry.
Jokic did too. What's your
far
point?
Out.
What's your point?
So, when Chris Paul is off the floor, James Harden will be running the offense. He'll be getting assists. He'll be getting dimes. When Chris Paul's on the floor, James Harden will still be running. He will still be running plays. James Harden will still be getting assists. Because the thing is, even though Chris Paul may bring the ball up and start the play in his hands, if you have a look at how the dribble handoff works, they'll meet on the 3-point line and switch. Maybe the defender tracks Harden better than he tracks Paul. Paul has an open 3-point shot when Harden kicks it back to him. That's a Harden assist, isn't it? It's how it works, Tim. It's how it's going to work. Dribble handoff, James Harden sees Clint Capella steaming down towards the rack. Alley-oop. Bang. It's that easy, okay? It's just how it's going to work. So I think, for me, Chris Paul is a 20 to 25 prospect. Because I reckon
that'd be about right.
15 and 10 is probably what I'm expecting from Chris Paul. Maybe if he wants to score more, go ahead. But I think his steals are pretty valuable as well.
If you're saying 15 to 10 and you're saying he's 20 to 25, I'd take him higher than that.
Maybe, probably.
If he's 15, 10 and that, like 2 or 4, I reckon he's going to get 3 steals.
Be better. Yeah, that's DeMar DeRozan range in the 20s. It's just 25 points a game and nothing else.
See, the thing that I think is you're delusional.
No.
I think you're delusional.
No, and the Rockets are going to win 56, 57 games.
I don't have a problem with that.
So
you probably will.
Yeah,
probably. But I just don't think the Harden's going to have the same impact.
Anyway, we'll move on from this. We don't agree. That's just what I'm saying. All right, the next big trade, Paul George. One-year rental in OKC. How do we see this playing out?
I think Paul George has...
We're agreed on that, aren't we? He's going to the Lakers after the season. Yeah.
I think Paul George has the same impact as he did at Indiana. Probably a little bit less. Because he's not a very big assist player anyway.
Yeah.
He won't have the ball in his hands. He's going to be a catch-and-shoot player.
He's going to be a spot-up shooter.
Russell Westbrook is not going to... Well, if he gets 44% usage, I will be surprised.
I think...
He's going to have to let someone else have a bit of the ball.
Surely his mentality will have to change from, you guys are all useless, I have to do everything myself, to, now I've got another superstar on my team in Paul George, maybe I can let him do some of the work.
What I was saying the other day was, it's effectively the same situation as when Durant was back there.
Yeah.
But Paul George just isn't as good as Durant. So, in my head, if he went out with that same mentality, Russell Westbrook would still be a top 10 player.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can... If he cuts the turnovers... And, well... See, by him cutting the usage, it's hard to tell what he's going to do. Yeah. Is he going to look to score? Is he going to look to pass?
Well, he wasn't high efficiency last year, but do you think if he brings his ball... He brings his ball usage right down?
I think if he... Because now Paul George is there, and Paul George can make tough shots. So even if it's a shit-ass possession, Paul George can bail him out with, because he can make shots.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Russell Westbrook's impact definitely has to take a hit.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to take as much of an impact as everyone thinks it will.
He'll probably... I don't think he'll average a triple-double again.
No, that's not going to happen. But I think he's going to go maybe 23 points, 8 rebounds. Oh, see, the rebounds won't change as much.
Well, starting lineup.
8 rebounds, about 8 assists.
The starting lineup's going to be Westbrook, Roberson, George, Patterson, and Adams.
See, Roberson doesn't need the ball. Patterson doesn't need the ball.
Yeah, Patterson's just a spot-up three-point shooter. And Adams.
Do you like Roberson at the shooting guard?
Probably not. I prefer Roberson shooting guard than I do it. I prefer him at shooting guard than small forward.
Because I would not play Paul George at power forward. That's the problem.
He could in small ball lineups.
You've got Patrick Patterson at the power forward in this.
But they may decide to go lineups with Patterson at centre and George at power forward, Roberson small forward. I don't know, maybe a Brennus shooting guard or something, Westbrook if you want shooting.
Maybe Doug as shooting guard.
Doug McDermott, yeah.
Well, that's a big lineup, if anything. It's a big on the small range, but
they're still tall players, it's just they're shifting up a position. But I think how many points did Paul George average? He was in the top 10 in scoring.
Yeah, about 20 something.
Probably 25 points a game. We'll still be up there. I don't know. I can't. That one's a hard one to predict because it all depends on whether Westbrook's willing to, you know, change his attitude and mentality when playing with George.
Yeah. The one man I want to talk about, obviously, is Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
Massive deal going to Denver, something that us Nuggets fans have been waiting for years. I don't know how I feel. I'm happy to see Millsap there and that this team's going to be very competitive next season. But I'm not sure if it wasn't a better idea to just wait it out until Golden State leave.
Well, so first of all, fantasy impact-wise, Millsap's just going to eat up Danilo Gallinari minutes.
Oh, yeah. He's taking his things. Wilson Chandler's going to go slot into the small forward position at this point in time, unless he also leaves.
He shouldn't leave.
Kenneth Freed is the one thing. Denver has to make a move.
He'll get traded.
Denver has to make a move. At this point in time, they have 5 power forwards. And I'm assuming that the rookie, Tyler Lydon, does not cop the trade. I doubt he would since we traded for him.
Yeah.
Kenneth Freed is probably the man. Darrell Arthur is on a small contract.
Plays Darrell Arthur is also on a small contract. Yeah. Young prospect.
Kenneth Freed is probably the one that's going to get moved on. Maybe Darrell Arthur does too. I'm not too certain what happens with him. I'd like to see him stay. We need a bit of a vet presence, but Kenneth Freed is the odd man out.
Probably one of the worst contracts in the league.
No, I wouldn't say so. He's not actually on that much, if you think about it.
$11 million?
Yeah.
For what?
In this league, $11 million is pennies.
Yeah, he doesn't play, mate.
Pennies. Pennies, James. Paul Millsap is going to take his position. And, okay, so starting lineup, probably, I haven't decided yet, but I'm assuming he's going to be Jamal Murray. At the point guard.
Instead of Moody, eh?
I'm assuming it's going to be Jamal Murray, by the way things are turning out. Because I don't think they're going to start Jimmy Nelson again. But.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to be. It'd be Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, obviously, the shooting guard, who is my pick, most improved next season. I love Gary Harris. Small forward, Wilson Chandler, power forward, Millsap, Jokic, obviously, the centre.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter for me that Jamal Murray is the inexperienced point guard because Jokic obviously can handle the ball and pass, as we all know.
Yeah.
So, Paul Millsap is going to average, here's my prediction, 16 points, 8 rebounds, probably about 3 assists, couple of steals, couple of blocks.
Yeah, can see that.
The thing that I don't know quite yet is how much ball he's going to demand. Because we saw him next to Dwight, and he was happy to play with another big man and pull out his moves when he gets his chance. But he can shoot the 3 if necessary. He can stretch the floor, but he can also protect the rim.
He's a good passer too.
He's a good passer. He's a good system passer. He's not going to pull out the flashy passes, but we're obviously relying on Jokic for that.
Yeah.
But he's a good system passer, and he can obviously key in Jokic for a couple of easy dunks, layups, etc. So I think he's going to have very similar impact to what he did in Atlanta fantasy-wise, and he was a top 30 pick.
I think you can expect the same sort of thing from Millsap as you can in Denver as you saw him in Atlanta. Maybe a little bit less in terms of efficiency because he's aging.
Yeah.
But
It'll be interesting to see
a little bit of similar, pretty similar production coming out.
We can't really say that one too much until we see the Nuggets put out their lineup, because you never know. Fareed might somehow find himself in the starting lineup.
No, he won't.
If they can't find a way to trade him, they're going to want to keep him happy.
Why? Because contract's up at the end of the year, isn't it? Free agent at the end of the year.
Next season.
Jeez. It's a bad contract.
It's not a bad contract.
Anyway.
He was a rising superstar. He just hasn't finally hit the...
What other trades should we talk about? D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Gallinari is what I want to talk about.
Okay, we can talk about D'Angelo Gallinari.
The Clippers, everyone thought Chris Paul's gone, that's it, they're going to rebuild. No, they're not. If they get Derrick Rose, they're scary.
Honestly, I think they're... If they can sign another point guard, they will be better off from trading Chris Paul.
If they get Derrick Rose, they're scary.
With...
They finally got the thing that they've wanted this whole time, D'Angelo Gallinari. Yeah. They finally got one.
Well, they can go... So, at this point in time, the starting lineup: Patrick Beverley, Austin Rivers, D'Angelo Gallinari, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. It's a bit...
That's decent.
It's a bit lacking on three-point spacing.
That's decent.
So, you know, Blake Griffin's can shoot the three, but he's not going to, you know, he's not going to hang around there in the corners.
Patrick Beverley makes any team better, because he's the junkyard dog.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset that he got traded. But anyway, Gallinari's a good three-point shooter. Austin Rivers is average. Patrick Beverley's a top-notch three-point shooter. But he can't, you know, he's not one of those players who's just going to dribble the ball up and pull up for a three and hit it.
Well,
he's,
think about this, James.
He's, you know, like a catch-and-shoot three-pointer.
This is the Clippers' front court. They got D'Angelo Gallinari, a small forward, who's 6'11".
Yeah, Griffin.
They got Griffin, who was also 6'11". And Jordan, they got DeAndre Jordan, who's 7.
Is he?
They're all nearly 7-footers.
Yeah.
That's a scary prospect. Try playing small ball against that. It's not going to work, is it?
Arms.
It's not going to work, I don't think, playing small ball against them, especially when you got Patrick Beverley.
And you got Lou Williams coming off the bench, too. Jamal Crawford. Or did he get traded?
No, he got traded.
Ah, so he's getting a buyout. He'll end up somewhere else.
They're going to be a scary, scary team to play against. They're going to take some figuring out, I reckon.
They're an interesting team, Clippers. I think they'll have more depth this year, too. So
I think D'Angelo Gallinari averages 20 points for the first time in his career if he can stay healthy.
Do you reckon?
He's going to be the man. Blake Griffin might have something to say about that, I think, but...
No, Blake Griffin will be the man. I reckon Blake Griffin's going to have a good year this year.
Okay.
Yep. I reckon top 20. He's a top 20 player, Blake Griffin, this year.
Well, he was almost top 20 last year, and he was injured.
Yeah.
So, I would have to say...
I'd probably take the risk on him and pick 5th, or maybe pick 19. Nah, 20. I reckon 20 is a good range for him.
Yeah.
Around the 20, pick 20. That's a good range to try and hit him.
So, we'll talk about D'Angelo.
I reckon D'Angelo Russell, you know what? How many years has he been in the league, too? This will be his third year in the league. I reckon he's on here.
I reckon
he's a big... He's... Him and Jeremy Lin in that backcourt in Brooklyn, I reckon
they'll go well together. The shooting guard? Yep. Combo guard.
I reckon they start Jeremy Lin and D'Angelo Russell.
Well, they got nothing to lose.
I mean, Caris LeVert's alright.
They got nothing to lose.
But wouldn't you rather have Jeremy Lin and D'Angelo Russell in your backcourt?
They seriously have nothing to lose, so they might as well give it a go.
I think D'Angelo Russell...
Kenny Atkinson's a smart coach.
I reckon D'Angelo Russell might push 20 points.
20 points? Yep. No, I can't agree with that.
6
and 6. No. No, I can't deal with that.
So last year, I averaged 16. He averaged 16, 4, and 5. So it's not that much of a jump. Maybe we'll put it at...
Jeremy Lin is a 10 times better point guard.
We'll put it at 18, 6, and 6. I reckon they played in the backcourt together. Jeremy Lin played with Harden. You know, he wasn't the best thing ever. But they played all right. They had some good games together. I think that's the best course of action for Brooklyn.
Those two, especially without Brook Lopez, actually. That's a lot of scoring that they just lost.
Yeah. Surely they'd have played Timothy.
I would love to see Mozgov starting up at centre in a black uniform.
Jeez, do they buy him? They'd have to buy him.
He'd get 25 and 25 if he feels like it.
They're paying him that much, they're going to pay him. Yeah. I still remember watching Summer League games, and the Lakers announcers were talking, you know, we're really happy with the Lakers off-season, you know, they recognised the need and they went out. They may have paid a little bit too much, but, you know, they really wanted that... a big centre in Timothy Mozgov to lock down the paint. Well, look how bad his contract is now. Absolutely. But ended up with Lonzo Ball and Brook Lopez, so...
What? They probably had one of the... The last off-season before this one, they probably had one of the most poor off-seasons you'll think about.
Lol Deng,
Timothy Mozgov, terrible contracts.
Lol Deng?
now if you think about it, they're set next season. All they had to do this season was type a bit of money that'll expire next season to hit the floor.
Well, it doesn't matter. They don't even need young players because they're getting LeBron and Paul George and Russell Westbrook next year.
Exactly. Next season, Paul George comes home. They got Lonzo Ball a season under his belt.
Russell Westbrook.
And LeBron James wants to come too, apparently.
Everyone wants to go to the Lakers.
They're set. They're actually set.
Magic Johnson, what a great job he's doing. Him and Rob Pelinka.
Everything just falls into his lap. But Alonzo Ball, again, good season. Timofey Mozgov, I would love to see him play. I would love him. Well, 20 and 25.
No, he's their starting, if he's their starting center, you can probably get him in your fantasy team right at the end.
I will. But don't worry, he'll probably be on the bench. Vaka, yes. Zubac is interesting.
Yeah, he's an interesting option. Brook Lopez will be playing. Well, actually, let's talk about Brook Lopez. He was I picked him in. I drafted him, I think, pick 36 last year. Somewhere in the 30s. You know, he turned out to be a pretty good pick. He averaged around 25 points for the year. Or a bit higher, a bit less than that. Something, I can't remember exactly. But it was 20 points, you know, 5 rebounds. 2 or 3 blocks, a couple of 3-pointers. It was a good point of difference to have at center because, you know, he provided a different skill set to the rest of them. Did kill me with the lack of rebounding, though.
Yeah, I think he works really well next to Julius Randle.
I like Julius Randle.
We're well known to like Julius Randle.
Brook Lopez in a Lakers uniform. How do we see that?
I don't like the look of gold on him in the first half.
But are we thinking top 40 again for him this year?
I don't know. I don't know what they do. Because in Brooklyn, he was really like...
He was the guy.
He was the guy that we're going to go to school.
A lot of time, so he had to be the guy.
The thing that I want to know is, does Brook Lopez have the same license in Lakers to just roll out to the three-point line and drop a couple of threes?
Be interesting to see how that one lines up. I'm intrigued to see...
Because Julius Randle is the rim protector. He can't shoot anything outside 12 feet. He can barely even shoot 12 feet, but... That's the thing.
He's athletic and he can get to the right.
Yeah, at the power forward position, they're going to have the power forward protecting the paint in their center out on the...
Brook Lopez, he's not a rim protector per se, but he's a good weak side, comes across and gets a few blocks. So.
Yeah. You can make a case top 50. He'd be top 50.
Yeah, he would be. You wouldn't expect him to go any lower than 50. That's a steal if you can get him a pick
50. You're probably thinking 40 to 50 range.
Yeah, somewhere you can hit him around there. Who else has been traded, Tim? Who else do we like?
Well... It's not official yet, but obviously the Gordon Hayward decision.
Yeah, to the Celtics.
The thing that disgusts me really about that is the fact that how many times last season did we say that they need to rebound?
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward's not a rebounder.
No. And they're going to get Jay Crowder, who's probably like...
They lost Amir Johnson, rebounder.
Yeah. Jay Crowder's a pretty good rebounder for a small forward.
Well, I'd say Gordon Hayward's probably... The same one. Yeah. But they lost Amir Johnson. Who was a rebounder.
For our Horford. He's going to be starting a power forward now. Jericho.
I'm not going to answer that because I have no idea. I can't predict anything.
They've still got moves to make, so it'll be interesting to see what
they have. They have to lose Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley to bring on Gordon Hayward. Who plays a shooting guard is also up in the air. Because if Avery Bradley leaves, that leaves a massive hole there.
I can't see them trading Avery Bradley.
Jay Crowder is the most likely to go.
Yeah, or Marcus obviously. Smart.
Marcus Smart. That, who's going to be their sixth man then? I reckon Jonas Jerebko is a sneaky chance to pick up a couple of minutes.
He's a good player, Jonas Jerebko. I like him. He's a good 3-point shooter.
Can't rebound for shit, but
sounds like Boston, so fits right in. Anyone else, Tim? Anyone else we need to discuss?
We need to say that Aaron Aflalo was sadly waived.
Was he waived?
He was waived by the Sacramento Kings.
No, he'll get picked up somewhere.
Jordan Hill, James, was waived. That didn't even get released. That hurt me. I love Jordan Hill.
He was good in the Lakers.
He was good at the Lakers. He was decent at the Pacers. Went to Minnesota, played about 3 minutes.
Jeez, it's rough.
Nikola Pekovic retired.
Yeah, poor guy.
That's sad.
Did he retire or did he?
Yeah, well, the injuries finally got to him. Monte Ellis, waived.
Buyout?
Waived. That's fantastic.
Well, did he get waived?
He got waived.
They were going to negotiate a buyout, but I guess they're happy to just cop it all in the 1 year.
Yeah, well, I reckon he gets picked up somewhere.
He will. Now, players like that will find a home somewhere.
James, the biggest free agent is yet to be signed. Who? He's a point guard. He's minuscule. You should know who he is. He's up on my wall.
Ty Lawson
is yet to be signed.
I wonder where he'll be next year. I haven't heard any rumours about where he's meeting.
You know what? I tweeted this out the other day. I would love him to come back for a reunion in Denver.
Nah, he won't.
Denver's been looking... He's been in the market for a point guard.
Yeah.
They wanted George Hill and they missed out.
It'd be interesting to
see... But guess what, James? If he came back, I would love it.
It'd be interesting to see Tyler Lawson back in the Denver uniform, wouldn't it?
Just quickly, George Hill is going to have a massive impact in Sacramento.
Yeah, I think George Hill in Sacramento will be massive. Joining Z-Bo.
That's a fantastic deal. I love that. I absolutely love that.
With Buddy Hield, Buddy Hield will get a boost out of this because he'll actually be playing with a good point guard rather than Darren Collison, who'll be in Indiana. He might be starting there in Indiana too, Darren Collison. So just quietly, he may be top 50, maybe top 60.
You know what? We just completely skimmed over Jimmy Butler, probably the biggest news.
Yeah, true. Of Minnesota.
They're stacked now, Minnesota. They're stacked.
They've got an interesting starting lineup with the acquisition of Taj Gibson.
And Jeff Teague.
There's not a lot of reliable three-point shooters in that lineup, is there?
No, the thing for me that astounds me is who... So they're all good prospects.
Yeah.
So Jeff Teague was fantastic last year in fantasy-wise. Jimmy Butler, obviously, fantastic. Yep. Andrew Wiggins, still yet to add to his game apart from scoring.
But he was a reliable scorer.
He's a reliable scorer. Taj Gibson, obviously one of our favourite players in the league. Taj Gibson with the post moves.
He was a good DFS option, but yeah. I can't remember what draft pick he got taken.
No, I wouldn't... He's not necessary. Probably be like 150th. Because he's like 8.7 rebounds. Yeah. I think that's handy to have. And then you got Kat, obviously, at the centre.
Well, so the thing for me is the issue. This is the issue for me. So
Carl how do they share the points around?
Karl Anthony Towns averaged 20 points a game. So for me, Karl Anthony Towns is still going to be top 15.
Yeah. He's top 15. He has to be.
Yeah. So... He was like
Dynasty Leagues, he's pick number one.
Yeah. He was like a 34% three-point shooter. Taj Gibson doesn't shoot too many threes.
No, he doesn't.
Jimmy Butler, low 30s as well. Andrew Wiggins is low 30s.
Oh, I'd have to drop a bit now.
And Jeff Teague, low 30s. Karl Anthony Towns is probably their best three-point shooter, coming from the centre spot. And spacing is going to be an issue with them, but I think Jeff Teague is a good enough point guard. He's a better fit than rookie Ricky Rubio.
Are you
was.
Sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, because he can shoot the three.
Ah, not very well. 33%.
He can, but he can. There's a difference between Teague and Rubio. Is my point. So Rubio,
better passer.
Players would just stand, 5-6 feet away from him and be like, "Yeah, have a go." Jeff Teague, you're not necessarily going to just stand off him because if it's an open three, you'll hit it. It's more the contested ones he kind of misses.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's going to be an issue. Andrew Wiggins, if he doesn't add to his game, he's going to fall in fantasy terms.
But we do know this is Tom Thibodeau. They'll all be playing 38 minutes a game, so you can lock that in.
Yeah. But Andrew Wiggins, he needs to add to his game. Yeah. Otherwise,
he needs to do something else. He can't just keep shooting, scoring.
He's going
to
be looking outside on the top 60, I think, if he doesn't add to his game.
He'll just end up like DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. But DeMar DeRozan at least scored. Wiggins might not be able to if Jimmy Butler takes all his minutes.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they'll all play 38 minutes a game.
Yeah.
This is an interesting question for you. How do we see Zach LaVine in Chicago playing it? Well, I like him as a fantasy prospect.
I told you. If you're a guard in Chicago, you're loving your life. They cleared him out.
Yeah.
Now you got Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn.
Coming off an ACL injury... It's a risky prospect. I reckon you can, people will think he's damaged goods. I reckon you can steal him, maybe in the hundreds somewhere.
He'd be low. He'd be very low.
You can steal him, and he could very well, with the, efficiency won't be great, I don't think, but you could get some good stats up there from him.
Chris Dunn is also another one to watch. I wouldn't, there is no case that I would take
him. Do you reckon he starts in Chicago?
That's the thing. You need to watch him. He had an absolutely putrid rookie season.
Yeah, he was terrible.
He was top five. He was pick five, and they said, this man... After his summer league, they're like, this man is going to be rookie of the year.
And he traded him. He got traded at the end of the year because he was terrible.
Yeah, because he was rubbish. He couldn't do anything.
He's a good defender, but...
But he couldn't do anything.
As we said, we don't like defense.
You don't care about defense for fantasy terms.
All right, so just before we go, we'd just like to shout out to our boys Joe Ingles and Patty Mills.
Get paid.
Yeah, well done, boys.
Joe Ingles is going to have a big impact next season.
Absolutely he is. Joe Ingles, breakout man of the year. Matt Smith... Did see a tweet from him just earlier. Another great Australian fantasy basketball analyst, like me and him. So, and Josh Lloyd too. But 47 points per game is the career averages of the five starting players.
At Utah. So someone has to have an impact, and that man's Joe Ingles.
Well, so, okay. Let's discuss this, Tim. Let's discuss Joe Ingles. Ricky Rubio is a better passer than George Hill.
Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
Ricky Rubio is a worse three-point shooter than George Hill.
Yes.
Ricky Rubio is a worse scorer than George Hill.
Yes.
Points have got to come from somewhere. Rodney Hood
needs
to have a big year. I drafted him last year because I thought maybe he would do it last year. Didn't do it. This year, it's got
to
happen.
Needs to have a big one.
Joe Ingles' team, 50% from the corners, the three-point shot. We could be seeing 3-4 three-pointers a game from Big
Joe. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
He'll be jingling all day long.
I think he's going to be...
If he could average... Can you imagine if he averaged 15 points? See, he might actually be fantasy relevant this season.
You're thinking you're going to have to take him somewhere after 100, probably.
No, okay. He's not cracking the 100.
Somewhere after 100 is where you're probably going to be... We're biased, but we're not idiots. We're not naive.
Can we see a reliable fantasy impact from Joe Ingles this season? I did have him. You know, I actually had him in fantasy for like the last, what, six...
Yeah,
7 weeks of the
just
season.
Just after I dropped him.
A couple of assists, rebounds, you know. Last year, I think, towards the end of the season, he was averaging about 10 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals.
So it's handy, but it's not...
If he can butt that up, if he can get 15 points, say, average 3 three-pointers a game, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. That's good production from Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
You know, that's... pretty difficult to find something like that well-rounded across the board, because he shoots a high percentage from three. He's not the greatest free throw shooter, but, you know, doesn't really get to the line too often anyway, so that doesn't matter too much.
Yeah.
And he's got a good field goal percentage. So, high efficiency, pretty decent production. Joe Ingles' team could be our sneaky man of the year next year.
Look, I'll be astonished if his average draft pick is above 100. I'll genuinely be astonished.
I don't think he's not cracking 100.
But that's a bit imaginary thinking that he's going to... crack the top.
Well, when we go through our big board, you know, we're just throwing out ranges because very early.
Still, a lot of things happen. Jay Crowder might end up with that team. He might be shoved back to the bench. So
Joe Ingles is not going on the bench, Tim. Don't say this rubbish. But no.
There's still a lot of things to come. This is just.
And also, so does Patty Mills start, Tim, in San Antonio this season?
I have nothing to say on that matter. I have nothing to say.
Why?
Because Tony Parker should have finished his career two years ago. And. The more we say Patty Mills should start, the less likely Pop's going to start him.
Well,
they certainly paying him enough.
Is Tony Parker going to be ready for the season?
I'm not sure.
If he did his ACL,
I'd say Patty Mills.
Yeah, they never really. Did they ever say what his injury was, or did they just say it was his knee?
His knee. Doesn't matter though.
If it's the ACL, like we suspected, that's an 8-month injury.
Patty Mills, somewhere between 25 to 30 minutes a night.
Yeah.
He's never
really been fantasy relevant because he's too inconsistent with both his minutes and his production off the bench.
25 to 30 minutes is probably for the first half of the season, and then depending on how DeJounte Murray's going, he could take his minutes, but not someone you want to be paying that much.
I mean, you don't really want to pay Patty Mills. How much do you get? 55.
Yeah, about 55 over 4 years.
4 years. I mean, you don't really want to be paying some guy.
That's more than Deion Waiters.
Yeah, you don't really want to be paying some guy only $15 million a year just to play 20 minutes off the bench, do you?
Yeah. It's a changing NBA landscape, it is, and there's still more to come. So we'll be around.
Yeah, we'll be.
Hit us up on Twitter, the Waiver Wire One.
Yeah, people have already been getting their questions in for the draft.
Oh yeah.
It is the draft this early? Come on, guys. Mm-hmm. Things are still to happen.
Still a lot of things to happen. Can you imagine how keen that would be if he signed, you picked James Harden as pick one and then realised that his fantasy patch is going to get absolutely cooked. But we'll see how we go. So we'll be around.
I'm not going to be baited in this matter, Tim.
or you could still be fuming that Russell Westbrook won the MVP. Anyway, we'll be around. If you have any hot takes, anything to talk about, so we're always around. This has been The Waiver Wire. This has been Tim and James. We'll do another podcast soon, probably after free agency, after things have settled.
Yeah.
And we know more about what's going to... what the league's going to be looking like, and we'll see everybody soon.